This podcast is brought to you by our new Buy American Support America t-shirt, available now at howiecarshow.com. Click store. A portion of the proceeds go to Help ER Eats. Enjoy the podcast.
Better strap yourself in. It's time for the Howie Carr Show.
If an American president loses more Americans over the course of 6 weeks than died in the entirety of the Vietnam War, does he deserve to be reelected?
Remember, there are no stupid questions, just stupid people.
Mr. President, overall, South Korea has done 5 times more tests than the U.S. per capita.
I don't think that's true.
That is true.
South Korea's testing was 11 per 100,000, and we're at 17 per 100,000.
Yeah, are you going to apologize, Yahoo? That's why you're Yahoo and nobody knows who that is.
Ouch! That's gonna hurt.
Live from the Matthews Brothers Studios.
It happened all at once. His hands were on me and underneath my clothes.
I believe him and I respect them being able to tell their story and having the courage to do it.
Joe Biden was someone who speaks truth, who embraces fact. It knows how to speak truth, even when it is difficult for us to hear.
Maybe she just had a change of heart.
Who's your captain? Howie Carr.
Are you vulnerable on this issue at all because of your son's business dealings in China?
My son's business dealings were not anything with everybody that he's talking about, not even remotely, number one.
Well, thanks for clearing that up.
You're gonna have travel bans. You're gonna not be able to have economic intercourse around the world.
That's my trick here, Joe. It sounded like you said
economic intercourse.
The Hawley Smoot Tariff Act, which anyone raised or lowered, raised tariffs.
Unchained and unstoppable.
So in addition to extending the closure on non-essential businesses, I'm also extending the ban on gatherings of 10 or more people until May 18th.
You suck, you jackass.
Rump swabs, hacks, and moon bats beware. It's Howie Carr.
So that ban won't affect any political rallies for Tal Duvall, that's for sure. Thanks for nothing, Charlie Parker. Anyway, 844-500-4242. I hold in my hand a document from the Massachusetts House of Representatives. It's called the Temporary Emergency Rules for the Operation of the House of Representatives. And I am reminded of what Rahm Emanuel so famously said, the former mayor of Chicago, never let a crisis go to waste. So the autocrats who run the legislature on Beacon Hill have decided to take advantage of this situation to impose even more autocratic North Korea-style rules on the membership, as if they needed any more. This is just I don't even know where to begin here with what they're doing. They're shutting down the legislature, basically, even worse than it's already shut down. Joining us now on the line is State Representative Mark Lombardo from Billerica. He's a Republican. Thanks for being with us, Representative Lombardo. Tell us about this this document that came out today, Temporary Emergency Rules.
Hey, thanks, Howie, for having me. Yeah, we're seeing a further consolidation of power, or at least an attempt anyway, in the House through these remote sessions that are being proposed for the House. Included in these sessions, really three major highlights that I think are pretty unconscionable. The irony as I go into this is that the document starts out by saying during remote sessions, all legislators will continue to maintain the same privileges, rights, and responsibilities as if the member was physically present. All right, so that sounds encouraging, doesn't it? But as you go through, Howie, you now will have to pre-register with your Democratic chairman segment leader, which I've been there for 10 years. I didn't know what they do, but they do get $35,000 extra pay. So maybe they're going to start to earn that money here. But now we have to pre-register before 10 a.m. in the morning if we want to speak on anything throughout the day. And you have to tell them whether you're going to be for it or against it. They're going to then make a list of your position and then determine in which order you can speak.
They're making a list. They're checking it twice.
They're going to find out who's naughty and nice. Mr. Well, Speaker is coming to town.
So, you know, that's certainly really a disturbing piece of this legislation. I mean, this registration, the crushing of the ability of representatives to speak for their district by pre-registering. I mean, that is not the way the House operates, despite how much it is consolidated today. The rules go on, Howie, to say that they're raising the limits to require a roll call from 16 members currently up to 40 members. Now,
this is the one. This is the one, Mark. This you got to explain what this means. You know, a roll call vote. That's the only way you can get your representative on record for all of this odious legislation that they vote for, whether it's raising taxes or just fees or signing off on a doubling of the gas tax, anything, all of the terrible things that are voted for by the legislature. You know, you want to get them on record, but now it's not going to be possible to ever have a roll call vote again, is it? Because you 25%, that means you need 40 out of 160. So here's the question, Representative Lombardo, how many Republicans are there?
I think there's about 31 Republicans.
31.
So do the math, folks. Yeah.
No more roll call votes.
There are no more roll call votes. You're spot on. And so, you know, you think about open and transparent government. We hear about how open and transparent we are. I don't understand why people are so afraid of roll call. What's wrong with roll calls, right? We want to be open and transparent. Well, this is a clear sign that they don't want roll calls. So first, we don't want you to speak. But if you do, you're going to register. Now we're going to make sure you can't get roll calls on what you want to do. And then the nice follow-up to this, Howie, is that if you are allowed to speak, you're going to be able to speak on an item just one time. You know, no free debate anymore. You can speak one time for no more than 10 minutes, except if you're the Democratic chair who's the bill came out of. So the Democratic leadership will be able to speak in an unlimited amount. And any other rank and file member, including if you ask a question, that's it. You're done. Sit down. Be quiet.
I got to read this one to everybody. This is emergency rule number 11. This isn't rule number 11. This is emergency rule number 11. No member except the member carrying the report of the committee. That means the chairman. This is the bill. Only the chairman can speak. The chairman. When the speaker says jump, the chairman says how high, because otherwise he's going to lose his 35 or 40,000, whatever extra he gets if he crosses the speaker. No member except the member carrying the report of the committee participating in a formal session shall be recognized more than once on any question before the House without unanimous consent. Well, you can get unanimous consent, right? All 160 people will let you speak twice on a bill, right, Mark?
Yeah, exactly, Howard. you know how it works, right? So it's really amazing to me that, as you said, never let a crisis go to waste, that there is a further consolidation of the limited of freedom we have in the House of Representatives today. I love when people ask me, you know, isn't it so beautiful to be part of democracy in motion? And I tell you, it's a battle every day because it gets tougher and tougher to actually do the job that you're supposed to do. And this is just a further example of using an emergency to really silence members. And we're going to have an opportunity tomorrow to stop it, though, Howie.
Mark, it's not like you have a lot of roll call votes to begin with. They pretty much shut down the Senate by the fact that he controls all this extra pay for not just the Democrats, but the Republicans as well. So very few people ever get out of line. What's the problem here? Why does he have to shut down dissent even further?
I just don't understand it, right? Because if we were in a normal session, some of these specific rules wouldn't be in place. And so, you know, at a time when we're all going to be, you know, remote in front of our computers with time available to participate and be attentive to session, it's a time to make it more difficult to speak, make less roll calls, have less debate. how he doesn't make sense at all, and it's really a disturbing development coming out of Beacon Hill.
Well, we're speaking to Mark Lombardo, the state rep from Billerica. I heard there was some pushback today when this this confidential and privileged policy development document came out. Have they revised it yet, or are they going to revise it, or are they just going to try to ram it through tomorrow?
Well, it'll be interesting to see. The Democrats met in caucus today, and so just so the public understands what that means, you know, about 130 members of the Democratic caucus met, which is far more than a majority of the House. So the legislature met in caucus today and to discuss this policy. And so there are some rumblings that there could be some changes released tonight before it hits an informal session tomorrow. But that's really a key right there, Howie. In an informal session, any individual member of the House can go and question the presence of a quorum, meaning a majority. And without a presence of a majority, session can and will be ended and can be halted. And so I'm prepared to go tomorrow with my fellow rep Mike Soter and other members of Republican leadership. And we plan to be in the building tomorrow and make sure that this doesn't go through. And I certainly hope that the Democratic leadership will listen to us and appreciate that this is draconian in its approach.
Wow. No more roll call votes. And you know that, you know, all this temporary stuff, whenever they say temporary on Beacon Hill, that means permanent. You know that,
well,
right?
Well, the document notes that this is not just during the time of lockdown, but they're actually extending this through to January 5th, 2021, through the entire year. And so, you know, even not having an end date coinciding with any state of emergency is a bit alarming that how long this can go on for.
Wow. Well, listen, call me tonight if they I've written a column about this, but if they do send out a revised document, can you call me or text me tonight so that I know about that? But I would have thought they would have done it by now though, Mark, wouldn't you?
Howie, you're talking about a legislative body that when we're in the middle of a budget, they give you 30 minutes to evaluate a multi-million dollar amendment and then push it through right away. So you think they're going to give us more than 30 minutes tonight? I'd be surprised.
All right. Well, keep me informed about what's going on. So the legislative leadership is never letting this crisis go to waste, quote-unquote crisis. And so they're going to abolish roll call votes. That's the substance of it. They're going to abolish roll call votes in the House. I'm Howie Carr.
You're listening to the Howie Carr Radio Network.
This is Deb in Danielson, Connecticut.
This is Greg in Boston, Mass.
This is Elizabeth in Wakefield, Massachusetts, and this is the Howie Carr Show.
During the break, Taylor thought I was having a stroke because I just I read something else in this document from the House of Representatives, and it just irritates the hell out of me. They have total control as it is. There are no roll call votes. There's next to no debate. There's little dissent other than a few people like Mark Lombardo, Dave DeCoste, a handful of others, Colleen Gary occasionally, probably the only Democrat who's occasionally off the reservation. There's hardly anybody who stands up to these people, these septuagenarian bosses, DeLeo, the unindicted co-conspirator, age 70, Ron Mariano, his capo, 73 years old. But anyway, they put emergency rule number 9, this is what made me moan, no consolidated amendment to any bill offered by the Committee on Ways and Means, that means any money bill, shall be adopted except by a roll call vote. But there aren't going to be any more roll call votes. See? So you could... We're in the Hotel California now. You can check out... You can never leave. Talking about erectile dysfunction isn't easy, but with Roman now it can be. With Roman, you can get a free online evaluation and ongoing care for erectile dysfunction all from home. Go to GetRoman.com/Howie to get a free online visit and free 2-day shipping. Taylor, what's the poll question? What are the results thus far?
If the 2020 Massachusetts Republican gubernatorial primary were to be held tomorrow, who would you be voting for? Governor Charlie Baker, a.k.a. Tall Duvall, a.k.a. Charlie Parker, or Bristol County Sheriff Tom Hodgson?
Bristol County Sheriff Tom Hodgson.
97% say, give me Tom.
It's been pretty, pretty routine. That's his lead all the way through. Paula, you're next with Howie Carr.
Hi, Howie. I've been waiting because I have something I think is really important, but we're going back to Maine for a minute.
Go ahead.
The details about the data for the COVID virus is on the Maine CDC website. Okay, well, this is what it says. It's really important, I think. Data are about, it says who is included in the data. Data are about individuals who claim residency in Maine, regardless of what state they were tested in or where they are currently living. Take that in.
So it's what they call a self-selecting sample, Paula, right?
No. Listen, though. An individual who claims residency in Maine but lives in Florida will appear in this data even if they were living in Florida at the time of illness. County listings are by residence of patient, not location of the hospital or testing location. So tell me exactly how those stats that we're hearing mean anything.
Well, I would say they don't mean very much, kind of like these emergency rules down in Boston, you know? They don't mean a lot. And I think the key number is 51, isn't it? I mean, I'm sorry that 51 people have died in Maine of this virus. But that's not a very large number, is it?
We don't even know if they were in Maine, Howie. That's what that data's saying.
Yeah.
We don't know if the sick people are in Maine, if they're in a hospital in Maine, or where they are, because they're using their residence to collect the data on, not where they are.
What can I tell you, Paula? Thanks for the call. Kevin, you're next with Howie Carr. Go ahead, Kevin.
Good afternoon, Howie.
Hi.
I'm from Maine also, and I hope Paula Page comes back. That would be lovely. But I'm just kind of concerned that we have our leaders of our states that aren't even on the same page. We got Janet Mills, who wants to go out and, I guess, arrest people for not wearing masks. Then we got governors in other states that are releasing murderers because they don't want them to get COVID. I don't understand the reasoning between either one of them. I think both of them are extreme either way.
Well, we have 50 states, Kevin. That's the reality of it. I mean, some states are run more responsibly than other states. Some governors aren't releasing murderers. Some governors are opening up the economy again to get their states back to work. Other governors don't seem nearly as concerned about the fact that the unemployment rate in states like Maine and Massachusetts is approaching 20%. There doesn't seem to be any recognition of the economic calamity that the citizens are suffering. I don't understand it. I don't understand how this is a good policy. You know, either for the state or for their own political futures. Do they think people are going to thank them for shutting down the economy and putting them into poverty? I'm Howie Carr.
Live from the Matthews Brothers Studios.
Tony Blinken and you know, a whole bunch of folks, you know, Tom Donilon, a whole range of people who were, they were reading to me. We were talking about the what happened, that article in the Washington Post.
They were reading to you? You don't read the newspaper on your own now? Do they put a blanket over your legs before they read you the newspaper in the morning?
Tell me the one again about how Dewey beat Truman.
They read me the Washington Star.
It's a good. It hasn't been delivered the last couple of days. Does anyone know where my Washington Star is? Oh my goodness. 844-500-4242. As of today, this is the Bangor Daily News, there are 1,040 confirmed cases of the coronavirus in Maine, though only 404 were active cases, the lowest figure since April 12th. Hospitalizations have been declining. There are only 33 currently hospitalized patients, the lowest total since the state began releasing daily figures on April 10th. Half the deaths have been in nursing homes. We've tried to get Scott Atlas, the doctor, he's a former Stanford Medical Center physician, former chief of neuroradiology at Stanford University Medical Center, and now he's a senior fellow at the Hoover Institution. We'll try to get him on again tomorrow. In New York City, an epicenter of the pandemic with more than one-third of all U.S. deaths, the rate of death of people 18 to 45 years old is 0.001%, or 11 per 100,000 in the population. On the other hand, people age 75 or over have a death rate 80 times that. For people under 18 years old, the rate of death is 0 per 100,000. In New York State, of all the COVID-19 deaths fully investigated for underlying conditions to date, 99.2% had an underlying illness. 99.2% of the deaths in New York State had an underlying condition. If you do not already have an underlying chronic condition, your chances of dying are small regardless of age. People are dying because of other medical care is not getting done due to hypothetical projections. This is, again, Dr. Scott Atlas from Stanford. Critical health care for millions of Americans is being ignored, and people are dying to accommodate potential COVID-19 patients and for fear of spreading the disease. Many states and many hospitals abruptly stopped, quote-unquote, non-essential procedures and surgeries. Cancer patients deferred chemotherapy. An estimated 80% of brain surgery cases were skipped. Acute stroke and heart attack patients missed their only chances for treatment, some dying and many now facing permanent disability. 844-500-4242. Oh, boy. This is really something. I'm just looking at some other stuff. Someone said she's a nurse in Maine, and they set up at her hospital. They set up special floors for COVID-19 patients, and those floors are empty, and they're laying people off at these hospitals. 844-500-4242. John, you're next with Howie Carr. Go ahead, John.
Hey, Howie. Thanks for taking my call. The reason I called was the North Korean leader, if it's true, he's dead, then his sister apparently is in line for leadership there.
Right.
But I have a fear, Howie, that somebody in the Communist Party and the powers that be up there have been giving him advice over these last few years, like he had his half-brother poisoned, he had his uncle killed, yeah, who was a general in their army.
Tied to a cannon.
I gotta believe somebody in that Communist Party is not gonna feel comfortable with his sister ruling that country for one day. And I fear a military coup, which would put them in charge of all the nukes. What do you think?
I don't know. I tend to believe the majority of reports, South Korea and what Trump was hinting at, and the general facts that his special train full of hookers and cocaine and booze and all the other good things in life as far as Kim Jong-un is concerned, it's in this resort community. And knowing what we know about the guy, it seems like he would hole up in a nice, comfortable, by North Korean standards, place and just try to ride this thing out.
So I'm beginning to think he's not dead. I don't know. I mean, you don't know what's going to happen in these kinds of situations. This is like, you know, the Roman Empire, you know, when emperors were overthrown and you had a dynasty that would last for one or two generations, and then the Praetorian Guard would come in and chop off his head, and there'd be another guy for 6 months, and then somebody else would come in. I mean, you don't know what's going to happen if the woman is going to his sister is going to take over, or it's going to be some other general, and that'll start another dynasty that'll last for two or three generations. I don't think anybody can predict at this point. Thanks for the call, John. Paulette, you're next with Howie Carr. Go ahead, Paulette.
Hey, Howie, guess what? I listen to you every single day.
Thank you.
My husband got me turned on to you about 6 months ago.
Thank you.
And then what? And I got to tell you, I have a really, really true story for you. My stepdaughter went to her doctor's today to get blood work.
Yeah.
And she walked in there, and they looked at her, and she had a brand new N95 mask.
Mm-hmm.
And they looked at her and they said, "Where'd you get that?" She goes, "I ordered it online. It's brand new. I've never used it." She goes, "Do you have to take it off?" She goes, "What do you mean I have to take it off? Take it off and take one of ours." Oh, my God. Are you kidding me? So she goes, "First of all, I know where my N95 mask has been. It's been with me. I've never used it." She hasn't been out of the house for 7 weeks. She has children. And they said, "Oh, no, you have to put this one on." Oh, good Lord. Howie, and the only thing I have to say about Governor fucking, what's his name?
Oh, hold on. Thanks. Thank you, Paulette. The tension is getting to everybody. Todd, you're next with Howie Carr. Go ahead, Todd.
Hey, Howie, thanks for taking the call. Hey, here's a poll question for you tomorrow. Who's in better health, Kim Jong-un or Joe Biden? But anyways, I think that would be a 50-50. Question, though. I need you're a legal scholar, so I want your wisdom, and I'm not even really being sarcastic. When, like, you know the Baptist church here in Worcester that everyone's talking about because the guy wants to hold services and everything there?
Yeah.
When they say 10 people or no gatherings and stuff like that, is that technically law or is that recommendation? If you're going to fine me or arrest me, it's because I broke a law, not because I went against doctor's orders or recommendation. That's not, it might
right.
get me in more trouble, but it's not against the law. How does that break down?
I don't know how it's going to work, Todd, but I think this is exactly why Bill Barr, the attorney general, told the U.S. attorneys to start keeping an eye on potential violations of civil liberties. Todd, under the First Amendment, freedom of assembly, freedom of religion, freedom of speech. I would say that pastor is covered under all three of those provisions in the First Amendment, isn't he?
Well, they're telling a church how they can behave. Imagine if the church was telling the Worcester City government how to behave. Oh, here come the separation of church and state people. And nobody
right.
seems to be saying that right now because they're telling the church what to do.
What happened down in Greenville, Mississippi? Remember that? They a couple of weeks ago, or maybe 3 weeks ago now, there were two pastors that were trying to hold services in parking lots, and everybody was going to stay in the car. The cars were going to be separated and all this. And the mayor said, "You can't do that." And they said that the police said they were going to arrest people or cite them if they had a church service on Sunday. And I saw the minister on TV, one of them, and he said, "I'm stunned because not only is it a violation of my First Amendment rights, but the liquor stores in the city of Greenville, Mississippi, are open." And he said, "What's caused more harm to people? Liquor stores or Sunday church services?" And we all know the answer. Even if you don't like to go to church services, you can't really get into that much trouble at a church service or whatever it is. But you can get into trouble patronizing a liquor store. And eventually the mayor backed down. I don't know what's going to happen. This is a different state. I mean, Massachusetts is a blue state. And, you know, I mean, everybody says Charlie Parker is very popular with what he's doing. I don't detect that. I don't get the sense that, and I'm not there, but I don't get the sense that there's a lot of happiness by the fact that all the streets are deserted. And I'm beginning to hear people now say, well, the state of New York is going to be open before the state of Massachusetts. And I think there's a good chance of that. I think Charlie Parker is trapped. You know, he doesn't know how to get out of this. It's getting to be like LBJ in Vietnam. And that's why I was thinking of this song today, the Big Muddy. Cut 17.
We were waist deep in the Big Muddy. The big fool says to push on.
Yeah. You just keep getting deeper and deeper and deeper into it. And you don't know how to get out of it. And that's the situation that some of these blue state governors, some of these blue governors, including Charlie Parker, find themselves in. They're digging themselves deeper and deeper of a hole. And the first rule of being in a hole, as we all know, is to stop digging. Well, most of us know that. 844-500-4242. I'm Howie Carr.
The paper boy with a big microphone. Howie Carr.
This is Paul in North Andover, Mass.
This is Luana in Lexington, Massachusetts.
This is Lauren in Augusta, Maine, and this is the Howie Carr Show.
So rather than spending time talking about the president saying we should inject Lysol in our lungs, and he makes a big fuss about my having ice cream in my freezer. That's his latest today, his most current today. She has Lysol in her freezer. I guess he'd rather have, I have ice cream in my freezer. I guess that's better than having Lysol in somebody's lungs, as he is suggesting.
They just lie like a rug. Biden was the same way in that interview, virtual town hall he did with the guy in Miami. He said, oh, the president owes millions of dollars to China. That was a fake news story in Politico. It was totally debunked. Totally debunked. Trump in 2012 was a minority investor in a skyscraper in New York. And as a bridge loan, I think it was, they got some money from the Bank of China, and within 2 months, the Bank of China was out of it. And again, Trump wasn't even the major investor. He just threw, it's like being in a mutual fund. And Politico had to retract the whole story, and Biden is still pushing it like it's real. and the reporter doesn't know. I don't even think the reporter had a clue what he was talking about. Of course, I don't know that Biden had a clue either. Incidentally, the House leadership just issued a revised emergency rules, and they cut the number of people, reps, who have to stand up to demand a roll call vote back to 16. So they backed off that. So there will be roll call votes after all. They're angry. They're angry they didn't get their ways. They were looking forward to getting rid of those pesky roll call votes, as rare as they've become. They still wanted to get rid of them. But it's a small victory, but we'll take it, I guess. Pat, you're next with Howie Carr. Go ahead, Pat.
Yes. Hello, Howie. I just wanted to tell you a story because you were talking about Maine. I have an 83-year-old cousin who lives in Scarborough, Maine. And her heart doctor told her that she needs a pacemaker, but they're not going to schedule it now because they consider it elective surgery.
Mm.
So, I mean, I just hope she can survive long enough for it to be on the schedule. I mean,
yeah, I know that's what Dr. Atlas was saying in that story that I just read. You know, people are, people are dying, literally, because of the fact that they can't get so-called elective surgery. Elective surgery is like essential businesses. Who's to say it's elective? Who's to say a business is non-essential? You know what I mean, Pat?
Oh, yeah, it's essential to her. I mean, she really needs it.
Right.
And another thing, Howie, the media has scared, you know, they say, oh, President Trump is causing people to die. No, it's the media that's causing people to die because they scared people out of going to the hospital.
Right. I know. And again, unemployment leads to disease. It leads to alcoholism, drug abuse, suicides. It's just a really terrible thing that we've done. This isn't like a sneak attack like Pearl Harbor 1941 or the World Trade Center 9/11. This is something we've done to ourselves. And it's just, I don't know, it's very frustrating. Thanks for the call, Pat. Charlie, you're next with Howie Carr. Go ahead, Charlie.
Hey, Howie, how are you?
Good.
It's Charlie up here in Maine. Yeah, I just want to chime in on a great governor we have here. I live in Piscataquis County, which is known as the Red County.
Yes.
And we have one case up here, one case, and that case isn't even from Piscataquis County. It's just ridiculous what she's doing. All it is to make this president look bad. They couldn't succeed at all their other little fake games, so now they're trying to pin this on him.
I don't think it's going to work, though, Charlie, is it?
I hope not. He's the best thing that ever happened to this country.
Yeah, they're just trying to convince the low-info voters that somehow he told people to inject Lysol into their lungs. I mean, how ridiculous is this? I mean, how does she get away with lying like that? Nobody calls her out on it. Nobody calls out Joe Biden on.
You're gonna have travel bans. You're gonna not be able to have economic intercourse.
And the guy doesn't say anything. I mean, you know, I know he's just a local guy, but usually the local guys are better than the rump swabs in the Washington press corps at calling these phonies out. We'll be back tomorrow. I'm Howie Carr.